Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Luke, chapter 2. Luke, the second chapter in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1073. We'll be reading the first seven verses. We'll read these verses responsively. Then I'll have you turn to yet one more verse of Scripture. Let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Page 1304 in your Scofield Bible. Hebrews 13 and verse 2. And let's read that together, please. Ready? Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for the season of the year. Indeed, we need to give the kind of thought to the season that is deserving of thee, and this is appropriate for someone who's washed in the blood of our Savior Jesus. Thank you for that precious gift that you gave us that first Christmas day. Now we pray that you bless and give us tonight what we need. We would count it a real blessing to know that you're here with us, and we do indeed know. We pray that you bless and move in among us in a way that would bring about thy precious will. Thank you for our preacher, and give him of thy strength and power, and help us each to listen on purpose and with carefulness. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight I'm going to defer to the innkeeper of Bethlehem and let him speak to you. I'd like tonight for you to listen to him say what I think he would say if he were here. It's a very unusual message, and I would ask you to listen carefully. I'll make a deal with you. I'll make a deal if you listen very intently to everything I say. I'll try to limit the message to 30 minutes. Let me, before you get your hopes up too much, I've been trying to do that for 36 and a half years. But I'm going to make a real effort tonight to limit the sermon to 30 minutes. I'm not speaking. The innkeeper of Bethlehem is speaking. And I cannot assure you when he will finish. But don't blame me, blame him if the service goes a little longer. But I don't think it will. I really believe that I'll be finished speaking in 30 minutes. I want to speak tonight on the subject angels unawares, or I guess I could put it, the angel unawares, our Heavenly Father. I pray tonight that our Savior shall be dearer and sweeter to us, and our zeal for Him shall be increased, and our dedication to the task for the coming year shall be greater. Be called to come. In Jesus' name, amen. My home is in Bethlehem. I'm an innkeeper by trade. Boy, did I ever blow it. It was I who met Mary and Joseph on that fateful night when Jesus was born. The inn was filled that night. Oh, I say it was filled.
I might have squeezed in another couple if I had really wanted to. But I told them that the inn was filled and there was no room for them. Oh, I did tell them about the stable and that we had probably room enough for the couple, this poor couple, from up in an undesirable part of Palestine, up in Nazareth. In fact, we have a saying here in Judea that can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Sort of a slum area. And this couple, poor peasant couple coming from that slum area, came to my inn. I was the keeper that night. And I saw some room in the inn, so I gave them the room, and I didn't think anything about it. And then not long after they were there, some shepherds came. And those shepherds came into the lobby, and they said, we're looking for the Messiah. And I said, the what? And the shepherds said, haven't you heard? The Christ child has come. Angels have sung the song announcing his coming. We're shepherds who've heard that cantata sung by the angels, the angelic choir. The star has appeared over Bethlehem's manger. Haven't you heard? I couldn't believe it. I absolutely couldn't believe it. If I had just known who it was. Why, if I had known that that lady was carrying in her womb the Christ child, if I had known that I was talking in the presence of the yet unborn Messiah, I would have given them the best suite in the inn. The best culinary treatment would have been theirs. They would have had the best table in the dining room and the best food in the house. I would have chosen for them the best maitre d' and the best waiters and hostesses. The best porter would have carried their luggage. The best crib in the city would have been brought to my inn. If I had just known. But I did not know that that was the Christ child in the womb of that lady who was expecting a baby. If I had just known, I would have called the best doctor in Bethlehem. And they would have received the best treatment in Palestine. I would have served them with the best china, the best crystal, with the best silver. They would have had the best linens and the best tapestry of anybody in all of Palestine. If I had just known. In fact, if I had known who it was, I would have given them my room and my bed. But I blew it. I blew it. The sad thing about it is, I'm a religious man myself. I grew up attending the synagogue faithfully. I studied the scripture. I'm no atheist. The truth is, I'm a devout Jew. And I too expected the Messiah to come. And I looked for him to come like all devout Jews have. I'm no atheist. I'm no agnostic. I'm no infidel. I'm a devout Jew looking for the coming of the Messiah. If I had just known. I knew Isaiah 9 and 6. I knew that someday a child would be born. I knew that someday a son would be given. I knew his name would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. I knew Isaiah 7:14. I knew that he would be a virgin-born child. That's more than a lot of theologians know today. But I knew that. I believe that. I mean, I'm the innkeeper. I'm the one that said no. I'm the one that turned him away. But I didn't understand it. I blew it. I knew Micah 5:2. I knew that that baby would someday be born right here in the city of Bethlehem. That isn't all. I knew Numbers chapter 24 and verse 17, where it was predicted that a star would hover over the manger. I know the 70 weeks of Daniel's prophecy. I know according to Daniel chapter 9 that his coming was soon. For I have studied in Daniel chapter 9 the 70 weeks of Daniel's prophecy. And to tell you about what time he's going to come. I'm the innkeeper. I'm the guy that turned him down.
But I'm a religious man. I'm no atheist. I'm no agnostic. I'm no infidel. I'm the guy, but I know, I knew, I expected him to come.
I knew Isaiah 53 that told of his crucifixion. I know Psalm 22 that tells about the purpose of his coming.
I know Genesis 22 that speaks where Abraham said to Isaac, the Lord will provide himself a sacrifice. I knew that someday God would come in the flesh, would be born in Bethlehem, and would be a child. I knew that he'd be a virgin-born child. I knew all of that. I knew about when he would come. I knew about where he would come. I knew about the star that would hover over him. I knew all of that. And I knew that that Son of God, God in the flesh, would someday pay the penalty for the sins of all mankind. I knew that.
I knew Numbers 21 about the brazen serpent. And I had predicted that that brazen serpent was a picture of Jesus being lifted someday, or the Messiah being lifted above the earth. I know all about Exodus chapter 12 and the Passover lamb. And I know that Passover lamb that's offered every year. I know that Passover lamb is but a symbol of someday the Lamb of God. I know all of that. I believe in the Messiah. I looked for the Messiah. I knew about his coming. I knew about when, about where. And I knew all about that. And I blew it.
I knew Genesis 3:15 about the seed of woman someday bruising the head of the serpent.
I knew Exodus chapter 30 and about the Day of Atonement. I knew when that high priest took that blood from the lamb, from the offering on the Day of Atonement and sprinkled that blood on the mercy seat. I believed by two and two making four, I put two and two together and came up with the fact that that blood was symbolic of the blood of the Messiah that someday will be shed.
I blew it. So as you can see, I, as the innkeeper, expected and wanted the Messiah to come. The sad thing is, I didn't expect him to come where he came. Maybe a palace, maybe to the Sanhedrin, maybe to a fancy hospital, maybe to a theological seminary, maybe to an ornate theater, maybe to, better still, the temple site, maybe perhaps to a synagogue, or maybe the Senate chamber, or maybe a luxurious Palestinian home. But I never expected him to come as a customer to my hotel. Oh, if I'd only known, I would never have turned him away. I had the chance that nobody else has ever had. I had the chance to welcome the Messiah to my hotel. And I put him out there in the manger. Some hay in sort of a ball barn. I didn't expect him to come where he came. That isn't all. I didn't expect him to come as he came. In the first place, not from Galilee. Maybe Jerusalem, maybe Jericho, maybe Bethany, or even Emmaus, or Joppa. But I never expected him to come from Galilee. And of all the places in Galilee, that little slum town called Nazareth, I dead sure didn't expect him to come from Nazareth. And from the type of home from which he came. I thought he'd come from the home of a king. Maybe his father would be royalty.
Or a member of the Sanhedrin. Or he'd be reared in the home of a doctor, or a lawyer, or a judge, or a senator, or an educator, or even a rabbi, or a general of the army. I never expected him to come as he came.
A son of a peasant Jewish maid from Nazareth. Folks, I blew it. I just blew it.
I expected a king. Not a peasant baby. I expected the throne. I expected a scepter. I expected a crown. I expected a steed. I expected a robe. I expected a sword. I expected a chair. You see, I know Daniel chapter 2. And he's going to come as a stone cut out without hands and break in peace to the kingdoms of this world and establish his own kingdom. And I expect him to come to establish kingdom. I've been looking for him, but I expect him to come holding a scepter, riding on a white horse with a crown on his head and a royal robe on his shoulders and a scepter in his hand and a throne on which to sit. That's what I expected. I didn't expect him to come to my hotel.
I knew Psalm 24. It said the King of Glory shall come in. That's what I'm looking for.
I knew Isaiah chapter 9, the government shall be on his shoulders. And I expect him to come
as a king.
I knew about Zechariah chapter 14, where someday his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, the Mount of Olives shall cleave in twain. I knew all of it. Ladies and gentlemen, I was the innkeeper. I was the guy that had the registration card on the desk and asked if he had reservation. I was the fellow to whom Joseph said, I'd like a room tonight. And his pregnant wife was standing beside him. And I said, there's no room in the inn. We had room for senators. We had room for presidents. We had room for royalty. We had room for liquor. We had room for parties. We had room for frivolity. We had room for company parties. We had room for fellowship. We had room for gifts. We had room for everybody. But I didn't have a room for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
What did I ever do? I guess I expected a leader like Moses, or a priest like Aaron, or a general like Joshua, or a preacher like Noah, or a saint like Samuel, or a seer like Elisha, or a prophet like Elijah, or a patriarch like Abraham, or a great leader like Nehemiah, or a ruler like Solomon, or a prophet like Daniel, or a builder like Zerubbabel, but not a babe in a virgin's womb, not a babe in the womb of a peasant gal from the little across the track city of Nazareth. Can any good thing come out? Oh, yes, something good did come out of Nazareth. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Savior of the world, the Lily of the Valley, the fairest of 10,000, the bright and morning star, the hope of all the world. He came from that little town of Nazareth. He would have been a bus kid. And their home would have been in the ghettos. And I surely expected some fanfare. Why? Because I looked for the Messiah to come. And I did look. We went to the synagogue every Sabbath day and studied about his coming. I expected a coronation or an inauguration or a ceremony or an induction or an anointing or a presentation, or a parade, or a rally, or an ordination, but not a little baby in the womb of a peasant Nazareth Galilean girl. I blew it, folks. I blew it. The chance that nobody's ever had. And I don't care what happens. I don't care how many people to whom I ministered from then on. I don't care how many people I've helped. I don't care how many poor people I kept in the manger and gave them a nice room at the inn. I don't care. I'll always be known as the man who turned down the Messiah. Oh, I blew it. I blew it. Let me warn you folks tonight as the innkeeper. Be good to everybody. Always give it your best. I entertain the angel of the Lord unawares. Let me remind all of you folks, if you teach a Sunday school class, give it your best every Sunday. You don't know who's in that class. Let me remind you folks that pick up little children on buses and drive those buses. Be careful. Do your best every Sunday. You don't know who's on those buses. Let me remind you folks that teach a class in Hammond Baptist Schools here. I'm the guy that turned away the Savior. I'm the guy that was too busy one night, didn't do my best one night. Let me remind you, as you teach that class at Hammond Baptist Grade School or Junior High or High School, let me remind you to do this. You don't know who's in that class. I did not know that that was the Son of God. Let me warn you, folks. That next visitor may be in your Sunday school class. Maybe like the one Daisy Halls had one day. And she did not know that a young lad named Lee Robertson was in her class.
Let me remind you to give your best. The next mission man may be like the one who stumbled in Pacific Garden Mission. By the way, his name was Billy Sunday. Daisy Halls did not know that Lee Robertson was sitting in her class. She did not know that the man would someday pastor the largest church in those days in America, would someday be in her class. But Daisy Halls gave her best in case somebody like that was in her class. The man who preached at Pacific Garden Mission that night did not know that the next world-known, world-renowned evangelist would be in the service that night. But he poured out his soul just in case some poor, hungry man needed the Savior. And a man walked down the aisle and laid down his baseball glove and left Chicago White Sox baseball team and took America in his arms and changed America. Don't blow it like I did. I turned down the Son of God.
You do not know, but that next public school student who comes to your Bible club, maybe the next Charles Haddon Spurgeon, a young teenage school student, 15 years of age, searching for God, going from one church to another, trying to find the answer. One morning, going to one church, a snowstorm came. He couldn't get to the church he was going to attend, and came to a little Methodist church, and a layman stood up that morning. And the preacher couldn't even get there because of the snowstorm, but the layman stood up and tried to preach, and he spoke on the subject. And I lifted up or looked to Jesus. And he said, young man in the gallery, look to Jesus. And that man in a snowstorm with 15 people in the audience, he did not know that the Prince of Preachers were sitting in his audience. Don't blow it like I did. Don't casually go to your Sunday school class to teach like I went to the inn that day. Don't casually work on your bus route like I did in the inn that night. Don't casually teach your school or class like I did. Don't casually serve God like I did. You never know. I didn't know if I'd have known. I'd have put him in the best room in the house. I did not know. And I beg you, folks, don't make the mistake I did. That next street service you conduct, there just may be a Mel Trotter standing out there. A male trotter who had sunk so low into alcoholism and sin. His wife begged him because they had a baby that they thought was dying. His wife begged him to stay home. He went out and got drunk with his baby dying. When the baby died, he took the shoes off his dead child and sold those shoes from the body of the corpse of his dead child and sold them for enough money to go out and get drunk again. Decided to end it all, went down to jump in the Chicago River, and a faithful group of people were singing and preaching on the street corner. You don't know. Give it your best. Give it your best, Sunday school teacher, even on Christmas Sunday. Give it your best, Brother Hiles, even the crowd is down. Give it your best, bus worker, even the bus is half filled. You don't know who's there. I did not know that Jesus the Messiah was at my counter. He wanted to check into my hotel. I'll never have a chance to do it again. I beg you, be careful and give your best everything you do. That next street person, maybe like a street person I heard of named John Newton, a vegetable who got saved, wrote the song Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved the Wretch Like Me. Everybody gave up on him. Except Jesus didn't give up on him. He's the one who penned those words through many dangers, toils, and snares. I have already come. His grace hath led me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. He wrote those words when he'd been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Let me tell you, those of you that teach a Sunday school class and run a bus route, or by the way, those of you that have a little child being reared on your knee, don't take it for granted. Do your best. Mary did not know for a while that the child conceived in her was of the Holy Ghost. It may be the next bus kid, might be about a little bus kid I know about. who rode a bus to Sunday school and got saved, and now is one of the greatest bus directors in America, sitting on the platform right here, Dr. Ray Young. You don't know who it is on your bus. You don't know who it is in your class. I never know who it is when I preach around the country. So, Brother Hiles, no matter where you are, if you're preaching to several thousand on Sunday night at your own church, or if you're preaching to 40 people in a snowstorm last week in Ohio, give it your best. Or if you're preaching to 75 people that showed up in a blizzard last Tuesday night, always give it your best. You don't know who's in that group of 75 people. That next visit you make, maybe like the one made in England one day by Mr. Kimball, who did not understand that he was talking to the great Dwight Moody, who someday would lift two continents closer to God. That sermon you preach, maybe like the one Jack Hiles preached in Atlanta, Georgia. He did not know the young man was there who had 20 people in his church named Curtis Hudson, who would someday become a great evangelist and editor of the Sword of the Lord. Give up your best if the crowd is down. Give your best if you're discouraged. Give your best. That preacher in New York City did not know that Karl Marx was sitting in his congregation. Why, if he had known that the man who was going to turn the world to communism and lead Soviet Russia and Soviet Union into its mad rush toward godless communism and ban the Bible and ban the old-time gospel and ban religion and ban the preaching of the gospel and put preachers in jail and let them rot in prison, that preacher in New York City didn't know it, but sitting in his church one night was a man named Karl Marx. If that man had done his best and reached Karl Marx for Jesus, the entire future of the world would have been changed. I blew it. He was at my desk in my hotel. Don't blow it like I did. Give it your best all the time. Help everybody you can. Realize that no one is unimportant. You may do like I did. Blow it. You have an opportunity to entertain an angel unawares. I had the Messiah in my hotel lobby. And I blew it. Boy, did I ever blow it. I prepared this sermon. I did not know the poem I'm going to read, and I rarely ever read anybody else's poetry from the pulpit, but I'm going to tonight. I've never read this poem until 15 minutes before I came to the question-answer time tonight. You'd think that I wrote this poem from this sermon. Mrs. Gray stuck it under my door tonight. I picked it up. Normally, I don't look at my mail until Monday morning, but I looked at that little note and had a poem, and I put it in the Bible. I want you to listen to it carefully. I awakened by a knock. I found a stranger at my door. I knew he was a poor man by the simple clothes he wore. He asked for a bed and shelter. I had none that I could spare. The inn was filled to bursting with people everywhere. I'll sleep outside upon the ground. I do not ask a bed. Just one small corner for my wife is all I ask, he said. There is no room, I told him, but the stable will hold too. At least they would be sheltered, and the straw was fairly new. You're very kind, the stranger said. I pray you will be blessed. My wife is feeling ill, and there she'll get some rest. I gave the man a candle for a light to find the way, then fell asleep exhausted and did not wake till day. The morning brought another eager knocking at my door. I rose to find the shepherd and behind him several more. Did you see the star, they asked, or hear the angels sing? Your stable holds the Son of God. Your manger holds the King. I caught my breath. I could not speak. Christ child. Could it be? With pounding heart and shaking knees, I ran outside to see. I knew at once this was the Christ when I beheld his face. He'd come from heaven's glory to be born in this foul place. I wept beside his humble bed that should have been so fine. Had I but known, I gladly would have given to him mine. He could have had my silken shawl and lace beneath his head instead of ragged swaddling clothes and a manger for a bed. From that day on, I never turned a traveler away. And many times I gave my bed and urged the weary stay. I lowered prices for the poor and gave them food to eat. I gave them robes to keep them warm and slippers for their feet. The rich, the poor, the strong, the weak. I treated all the same. I welcomed with a friendly smile each traveler who came. And yet, remembered, round the world, not the good I've done. I'm only known as he who had no room for God's own son. Would you be known as one who helped the one who turned away, if Christ should come in stranger's clothes to visit you today? Will he be welcomed with a smile and words sincere and true, or will he hear those words again? I have no room for you. For 36 years and 3 months, I pastored this church. I stood behind this pulpit hundreds and thousands of times. I walked among the city of people, the city of Hammer in the great Chicago area. I've never wanted to turn away anybody or be rude to anybody. You never know who it is who's knocking at the door. As we enter a new year, ladies and gentlemen, let's give our best. Let's give our best, Sunday school teacher. No carelessness and no indifference and no lackadaisical service and unprepared lessons. Let's study and pray and work and visit and give our best. Let's give our best, bus workers. Let's knock on the doors and realize behind every door is a heart and a soul that's going to heaven or hell someday. Let's give our best, school teachers. Let's give our best, principals. Let's give our best, little choir directors. Let's give our best, those who lead the young people. We don't know who's talking at the door. If I had just known, I would have let him in. I entertained not angels unawares. I entertained the angel unawares. Tonight, does he have room in your life? Does he have room in your home, the Christmas season? Does he have room in your business? Does he have room in your schedule? Does he have room in your heart? Let's make room for him tonight. Don't do like I did. Don't entertain angels unawares. I entertained the angel of God unawares. Would you bow your heads, please? Our Heavenly Father,